This afternoon is a native of York County?
Yes, sir.
York County, Pennsylvania. He attended and graduated Pennsylvania State University with a BS and both a master's degree in animal science. Bill managed a very successful Top Hill farm in New York State some years back, and then migrated to North Platte, Nebraska, where he and Bob bought their first Angus cattle, I believe, in about 1966 to form and establish Richel Angus Farm. Ranch, Richel Angus Ranch. It's in Nebraska. It's in the West, so it's a ranch. Today, Bill and Bob successfully manage 300 head of registered Angus cows and market seed stock at their annual spring bull sale and fall female sale, as well as private treaty sales. Racial genetics occupy a prominent place in almost every continent in the world. When I go to Australia and New Zealand and South America, I find B/R bulls working or semen or calves in those herds, and so I know those genetics are working for those people extremely well. Bill is a past member of the Board of Directors of the American Angus Association and past chairman of our CAB program, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Bill Richel.
Thank you very much, John. It's a real pleasure to be here along with my wife, Barb. When Keith first talked to me about taking on this project, I was really a little bit, I guess, not just sure where to start. But one of the things that came to my mind and I thought struck me quite well was, how in the world does a plan or a marketing program develop through the years? And how does it change? And I think there's certainly a lot of ideas that go through your mind when you're trying to prepare for something like this. And I think the thing that that we need to think a lot about is, we've always heard that the only thing that's constant is change. And here recently I heard another piece added to that the only thing that does change is the speed of the change. And we're in an industry where, like many other industries, I don't think we're unique. That comes to our front of the mind or top of the mind awareness very rapidly, how fast things change. But some of the fundamentals that we're talking about in advertising and promotion really stay pretty much constant. What changes is, as the program develops, and as I looked through this group that's attending this conference, it struck me that there's a fair number of those of you here in attendance that are relatively new in this business. Now, if people out there like Clyde and Ruby Nelson have been in this for a lifetime, and many more of you that have as well, but it struck me that it is the newcomers to our industry and the new blood that's coming to the industry that these kind of programs are very important too. We can all keep learning, and it's important that we do. But I thought it would be quite challenging and interesting to talk about how our program developed through the years. One of the things that I want to mention right here, and it goes back to what Jay said and Bill Beal in particular, I think it's extraordinarily important that not only do we bring people into this industry or into agriculture, but it's as important, if not more so, that those of you that are in this beef cattle industry become more involved at a level greater than just the registered Angus business. Bruce Bourbon talked today about what they're doing with the California Beef Council, and I think it's important to point out that those funds that they're dealing with at that beef council, as well as all other states that have beef boards or beef councils, they come from your beef checkoff. And it's really important that all of us really get behind that thing, support it 100%, because those are the funds that are doing the job that Bruce was talking about today, and they're doing it all over the country. If we do not support that concept, and if we do not support the promotion and marketing of the end product, there's really not much purpose in what we promote and market as purebred breeders. And I think that's totally essential. Jay talked about, and Rob both, how important it is to know your customer, the commercial producer. But I can assure you that in my mind, our program did not truly begin to develop and amount to anything until we took it very, very serious. That we were essentially producing a product that ultimately ended up on the plate of a consumer somewhere in the world. And I guess it's important to me to go to that end and work backward. Because the only true dollars that are created in the beef cattle industry, the only new dollars that are created are the dollars that a consumer pays for the ultimate product at the very end of this chain of production. That requires all of us to sit down and think about that for quite a while. Yes, there are dollars that are passed on from one segment to the other in this industry, but the only new dollars are the ones created by the consumer that buys the product at the end. So if you think about that and back up through the retail or the food service parts of our industry, back through the packing industry, the feedlot, the cow-calf, to the purebred end, I think that it helps you to try to create a concept or a mission or a type of program that you want to be involved in. And once you have determined what that program and mission is, I think it gives you direction and guidance in how you start to determine in your mind what it is you want to produce. And, of course, then you create the marketing program to go about that business. So I like to think in terms of turning the pyramid upside down, if you will, compared to what we did many years ago when I believe we at the purebred end of this business tended to sit there in our own little world and dictate to the rest of the industry what we thought was ideal and just said, here it is, take it. Today, I believe we as an industry have matured to the point to where we see that in a totally reversed way, and we're really finally zeroing in on the consuming end and working back through this industry to a point to where we establish a marketing program that can help satisfy that. Now, obviously, when we started 36 years ago or whatever it was, 37, no way were we thinking in those terms. And when you have just a few cows and you're getting started and developing a herd of cattle like some of you out here just getting started, and I've talked to quite a few of you, and I was impressed with how many relatively new producers, new breeders there are in this crowd. One of the missions that you should be developing is to try to figure out where the marketplace is and who your customer is at that commercial level or purebred level, whichever it may be. And it's very important to try to establish these cattle that will work for those customers. And Keith showed you the maps. It's very simple. Most of those sales are going to be relatively close to home. I think that when you're developing that program, there's a need perhaps with your customer, but there also may be a desire. And you know, they're not necessarily the same. We all need to eat. We all need to buy groceries or food or whatever. If we go to a restaurant and need is the only requirement we have, we may seek out the lowest priced item on the menu or the lowest priced in the store. We may shop price. But if there's desire added to that and we realize there's some value added and there's a chance for more money on the other end, then price is not as important as it is when it's just a need. And I think we want to create a marketing program where we create desire along with need, because we're more apt to spend more money for that, and we all do it in different ways when we purchase different products. So I think that's important to understand. Our marketing program in the early days, we tried to go to state association shows and sales. We didn't have enough cattle to have a production sale. I think many of you will find yourself in the same position. And you have to be visual. You have to get around and you have to meet people. In the program, I wrote a piece in there and talked about some basic fundamentals. And I may not go through all those in any order today, but I think fundamental number one is people like doing business with people they like. It's pretty simple. Rob touched on this quite a bit, the customer referral thing. There's a reason. It's the way they do business. His customers like doing business with them as a family. And so how are they going to know that unless you really go to events and you get around and you visit with these people and you try to meet them and get them to know you and you get to know them? It's a people business. One of the things that we tend to do way too much in the registered cattle business is communicate with ourselves. I thought that the one great presentation here today that most of us as purebred breeders should walk away here remembering was Weldon Holley's presentation. He is in the commercial business. It's what it's all about. It's what we're about. And I would suggest that those of you just getting started in this business make a real effort to belong to your local cattlemen's organizations, not just the registered business. We tend to go out and we just preach to the choir and we talk to each other and we go to field days and what have you. But the real world out there and the people you want to do business with are the people running the commercial cow-calves in this industry. And they are the ones that will help you create the direction of your program. When Keith talked about a marketing position, I think it's real important that you think in terms of not just the marketing position, but your mission statement of your breeding program. Have an idea of where you want to go with this program, and that mission statement essentially is the same thing or whatever of a marketing position that Keith was talking about. I might just mention, Keith, you said there was 369,000 cows in that area that I live in. I want you to know that you're not the only one aware of that number. At the rate they import bulls into that area to sell them, I think somebody else already knows that number. Anyhow, that's as Paul Harvey would say, that's the rest of the story. There's a tremendous number of bulls do sell there. Another thing that I think in the early days of developing a marketing program that happens is too many people in the purebred cattle business use too many sires. It's a hodgepodge of all kinds of sires made it to all kinds of females with very few half-sisters, half-brothers, three-quarter sisters, three-quarter brothers that would be meaningful to the commercial cattle producers in this industry. There's a tendency to mate every single cow in the herd to a different bull thinking that it's going to be one of the great ones. And I would suggest to you that when a breeding program finally starts making progress, it's because you use fewer bulls with more half-sibs or three-quarter sibs, and because you're not any longer seeking to produce the proverbial great one, but because you're seeking to produce consistency and uniformity, and you're trying to eliminate on the bottom end of the program what I would call the trash pile. And the more that you make an effort to eliminate the calls and eliminate the trash pile, the more apt you are to see the cream come to the top, and eventually the good ones are going to be there anyway. So that enters into it. And then as you go along and you develop beyond the early days when you have small numbers, you get big enough to have production sales. And I've gotten off of some of the things in terms of the marketing program because it was touched so well by Keith and Jay and Rob. And I'm trying to give you some of the other things to think about that I believe need to be put into the thought process of a marketing program. When you get to where you have enough numbers to have a production-type oriented sale, especially in a commercial bull sale, the half-brothers become very, very important. The consistency, the uniformity, the fact that the bulls have to jump through so many hoops anymore to qualify to go out into the industry. All of those things become essentially important. And when you're big enough to have enough numbers to create that first production sale, for goodness sakes, the advertising at the local level, close to home, is by far the most important thing that you do. Far too often, I think people get into the Angus business, and the first thing they do, and excuse me, all of you with the Angus Journal, it's nice to sell the ads, but spending a lot of money in the Angus Journal does not necessarily sell a lot of bulls on a local basis at home. There are many, many forms of advertising, and certainly you have to be able to do that first and foremost right there. Customer satisfaction, I should touch on that. We've talked about it several times here today. The thing about the customer satisfaction is that you have to be responsible for your product and satisfy the customer, I think, at any cost. I like what Rob's doing. We're doing the same thing in terms of a full-year guarantee on those cattle. And the guarantee, there's no way to define it. It just goes to, quite simply, making sure that the customer's happy. I think that's the bottom line. I think they have to be totally satisfied and totally happy. There's so many other places to go and buy Angus cattle today that it's incredible. I think it's going to become more competitive. It will become tougher to compete in the future, and I think it's essential that they must be happy in what they do. I heard one time, and I mentioned in the statement that's in the program, about an advertising guru saying the only thing that mattered was perception, and that perception was the only reality. And I understand that advertising is very important to the marketing program, but I'm a firm believer that sooner or later you have to have genetics and cattle that back up the perception. I just don't believe that you can go on forever and continue to survive on nothing but perception. I think once in a while you have to get to some real hard facts. We talked about spending most of the dollars in a primary marketing area. I guess one of the things I thought Jay touched on very well and we believe is essentially important, and that is the fundamental number five, attempting to differentiate your program from the competition. Probably, I touched on this earlier, but in about 1981, we made a purchase of a herd bull that was pretty unique. He was different. Rob and his family ended up being a partner with us on that bull. It really went absolutely in direct conflict against the trend of cattle in the industry at that point in time. But we believed it was right for the cattle industry regardless of the time. And that's a phrase and a statement that we've used a lot in advertising. We don't do what's hot or what's perceived to be right for the times, but what's right for the cattle industry regardless of the times. And when we did that, we ran into some conflicts with people that thought they weren't the right cattle. Yes, we couldn't sell them in those days, but as the thing turned and they realized the economic merit of those cattle, things really started to happen in a positive way. We started the carcass test because we believed in the end product being an essential part of this this total mix. And by sticking to your guns and being consistent and doing what is economically right and sound for the cattle industry, it may take a long time, but if you just keep on keeping on and doing those things that are fundamentally right because of the economics in the cattle business, the cream will come to the top, and those cattle will be accepted, and they'll be accepted for a long, long time because they're essentially right for what we do. I'm out of time. I hope I haven't rambled in too many different directions. We had a lot of good people here today covering the subject extremely well. And one other thing, as I finish, Bill Beal, you said something about strange as a $2 bill. So just about the time you think there isn't such a thing, be prepared, because right there is one. It's official U.S. currency in the days when they had one, and it's been in this wallet for a long, long time. And I just leave you with that thought, because no matter what you think is cast in stone or what can't be, something will come along to prove you wrong. Thank you.